ITS Coffee Break for April 9th, 2013.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll give you some IT news of some new things that we're testing and working with here on campus, including 3D printing and a mobile app to use your Lafayette phone account. In tech news, we'll give you a few alternatives to Google Reader, and we'll talk about an essay grading software that seems to try and say that it'll provide professors a break from all of those essays they need to grade.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And let's see, we've got some interesting news going on for tech stuff.
Yeah.
So it's 3D printing. Yeah. And actually, I guess your group's been doing a lot more with this than anybody else. I would love to do stuff with it because I can think of all really cool things you would do with it, but go ahead, tell us what it is.
Well, it's 3D printing. So Adam McCoes, who is relatively new in the art department, he's embedded in the art department but works in instructional technology. And the art department received a Mellon grant funding in order to buy a 3D printer. And so, funny thing, when we went to order the printer, they didn't have the one that we wanted in stock, so they upgraded us.
Oh, wow.
So we have a really fancy, awesome 3D printer. Now, it's really slow. So little objects take like 8 hours sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very cool. He's been actually working with an application called Sculptress that allows you to actually sculpt objects online and sort of pull together objects too and sort of create your model, and then you're able to print it. And
so are they still experimenting with it at this point, or have faculty lined up any projects for it?
Well, actually, a group of students did work on it to create wearable art pieces.
Oh, that's cool.
So they made little, like, brooches or little necklace pendants, things like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I would love to have one of these in my house.
Well,
I could just imagine all kinds of cool things to print out for my kids, but I don't think we're there yet. I think it's going to be a couple more years.
Yeah, and the material is still really expensive, too.
Yeah.
So, until the cost comes down.
We blow enough money on toner without having to worry about 3D printing material.
It's actually some of the MakerBot versions. You can actually buy a thing that allows you to crush up old Legos and use that as the material.
That's cool. I had seen one.
Not
where,
that you'd want to crush your Legos, but
right. I had seen one where people were using sugar.
Hmm.
They were printing stuff using basically a sugar solution.
Yeah.
So I don't know. A lot of experiments out there. It's a pretty cool concept. I mean, I could just see, you know, with some of the games that I play, I could see, like, making little miniature figures or, like, board game pieces or whatever. Like, you just have a board game in a program, you print out the pieces you need, and then boom, you've got it.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting for the future of fabrication, especially, you know, when you think about this region and what it used to be. Like, Lehigh Valley used to be a big manufacturing hub, a lot of, like, garment factories and those kinds of things. I don't know. Maybe it could come back in a different form.
Well, but, you know, the interesting thing about 3D printing is that you could basically send plans anywhere you want. So instead of actually having to ship things, you just send the plans and print them out wherever you are.
That's pretty cool.
So I think that is really the flip in the in the landscape that, you know, has the potential.
Wow. So that's pretty nifty.
Yeah. So I guess the other IT news that we've been working with is maybe we mentioned this, that we're moving to a voice over IP phone system.
I think
system.
We did. I think maybe two podcasts ago.
Okay.
Which were two podcasts ago, like in the last month, not two years ago.
But we just received essentially the proof of the iPhone app, an Android app for what's called Bria. So basically you'll have a maroon and gray and black and white phone interface to use that will allow you to use your Lafayette number.
Right, so I can have this on my iPhone, and I can be in. I think we did talk about this before, because it allows me to be in Skillman Library and have my phone ring, which is astounding. And it's, you know, it rings to my cell phone instead of ringing to. Well, actually, it rings everywhere.
Yeah.
It rings to my desk. It rings to my computer. It rings to my cell phone. It's pretty
very cool.
Cool.
I was actually in I was actually down in Memphis at a conference and needed to have a phone call with someone here on campus. So instead of calling them with my cell number, I logged into Bria and called them. And so they thought I was just calling from my desk.
Now, you do need to use a Wi-Fi connection, or can you do it over cellular too? I can't remember.
I think this new version will allow you to use 4G.
Oh, cool. Well, my phone's only 3G, so I'll be stuck on wireless. But yeah, it's pretty. I've been tempted to use it at home, just because, you know, my inside phone is so awful. My cell phone, you can't use it inside the house. But my Wi-Fi is everywhere. Anyway, it's pretty cool. We've been working on it for a while. We got the color scheme together with our friends in communications division, and now with the proofs back, I guess we're just experimenting with how it works and like having your account all ready to go and
trying to break it, and then we'll be able to release it into the wild.
Very cool. So our loyal listener, Dave Block, who may be our only loyal listener at this point, I haven't checked the logs in a while, but responded to our last show talking about Google Reader and the end of Google Reader, which I think is coming in July of 2013. Yep. And he was asking about whether or not there were any alternatives out there. And actually, there are quite a few alternatives out there. I've only had direct experience with two. The first one is called Feedly, and Feedly is basically very similar to Google Reader. The interface is very similar to Google Reader. And what it allows you to do is you can import your feeds. And then the nifty thing is that you can install a Feedly app on your iPad or on your iPhone or Android or whatever, and then see those feeds there too. So if you're looking for that kind of thing to be able to see your big list of all of your news items, I think it gives you a count for each of those news items. It gives you a bunch of different views as to exactly how to look at them. It shows you which ones are basically popping with new items and that kind of thing. So it's kind of a standard feed reader interface, but it's pretty good. Yeah. I think the bigger one, and I know Charles Fulton in WebDev uses this, and I use it, John O'Keefe uses it. I don't know if you use it. It's Flipboard.
Yeah, I have it installed.
Flipboard, basically, I mean, the idea behind Flipboard was that you could use it to consume social media. So you hook it up to your Twitter account, your Facebook account, and then you can basically just page through things like in a magazine. So it basically translates your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed into kind of this thing. You can just flip through and see the stories. So, you know, sitting there and reading Twitterific or the Twitter app for iPad or whatever, it's just all these little quick hits, and it's kind of hard to get into it. This actually goes out, it pulls in photos, it pulls in blurbs,
it
creates
elegant
pull quotes. So the nifty thing is that you can have an account for Flipboard, and you can pull in your RSS feeds, and you could use this to browse your news feeds. So
I
think if you're looking for something more user-friendly and something that you just can kind of quickly browse through, Flipboard is probably your best bet.
And if you're looking for something to just show you all your feeds, you can actually subscribe in Zembra Webmail.
You know, that is the other thing we didn't talk about last week. You can actually do feeds in Mac Mail. I think Outlook can do it. Everything in the world can do feeds. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes. A lot of people have basically just been talking about the doom of RSS and that it's going away. But at the same time, RSS is the glue that's been holding a lot of things together. It's like duct tape. Like, I don't think you could just, if you just got rid of duct tape, half the planet would fall apart. I don't think you could just get rid of RSS.
Right.
I think it holds together a lot more things than people think. But if you're looking for more stuff, we have a link in the show notes to the 5 best Google Reader alternatives at lifehacker.com. So they talk about Feedly and they talk about Flipboard. They have a couple of others there. One is a straight up, I think it's Old Reader. It's basically the exact same version of, it basically looks exactly like Google Reader. So if you're afraid of change, you can use that. But I mean, it's a pretty good article. It talks through some other alternatives. So,
very cool.
So, the robots have come to rule us.
Yeah. So, speaking of afraid, I don't know. I the verdict is still out on this. So, the next thing we wanted to talk about was actually there was an article. It's been in a couple places, but New York Times had a good article about this. Basically, edX is releasing their software that allows you to do essay grading. So I don't
just
know.
As background, so edX are the people who have brought you the MOOC things, the MOOCs, the massively online courses, massively online open courses.
Yes,
there you go. And the idea being that you can have a curriculum and you can have thousands of people taking a course. But if you're going to have thousands of people taking a course and thousands of people writing essays, no human professor would be able to read, you know, 10,000 essays.
Right.
So clearly there is a need for their, in their model, to have something that can do that.
So the, you know, the good side to this is sort of the way the application works is that students can submit their essay question or longer length essays, and they get pretty instant feedback, even to the point of it can give you instant feedback and you can make changes and resubmit. So students working through concepts and sort of making sure they hit the appropriate points, I think that this is a nice sort of supplement. I mean, most of what I've heard about it is that it's very literal because
right.
it's a computer. And so, you know, I'm not sure that this is going to be able to edit poetry or creative writing or anything that's beyond just kind of factual.
Right. Factual, structural.
Structural
kind of
information. I mean, I'm interested to talk to faculty about this because we always come up with this. They always come up with this question when you talk about Moodle quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you know, you can do quizzes in Moodle. It will self-grade, true, false, multiple choice, you know, that type of thing. And
best
then,
answer, second best answer, right?
Right. Like fill in the blank kind of stuff. And then the next question is usually, well, can it grade short answer or essay? And they ask like they want it to.
Right.
So I'm really intrigued to sort of talk to people about this. I mean, I think it would, they're releasing it open source. So I think it would be fun to install it and let some
right.
people kind of beat it up and look at it. I mean, a lot of states have gone to doing this with their testing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of states, when students in K-12 take their essays, it's either used as primary or secondary reading of their essays. So I don't know. I think it would be intriguing, but I'm not really sold
right.
yet.
I mean,
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, I guess once you get into the meat of it, you're really trying to understand the context of an issue and
right.
like work through. I don't know. Like you say, if you can map things to specific rules,
right.
then it seems like it would work.
So
better.
I mean, it also,
but this is all just based on one article. Like I haven't.
Right.
I've gone really in depth.
So it'll be something to definitely keep your eye on. I mean, I know that, I mean, obviously with edX, MIT and those guys have been working on it. I also know that Carnegie Mellon's been working on something similar. So I definitely think this is something to watch on the horizon and sort of figure out where it fits in our landscape.
Right.
Well, help news, we've got two things. The first of which, since we were just talking about Moodle, we're beginning to add some help documentation around Moodle that's less about what buttons to click and that sort of thing, and more how to make Moodle more student-centric. So the first of these is we've received questions recently, and previously, I guess.
Right.
Asking about how to allow students to upload their own materials, their own files into Moodle. And so we've posted a help document. There's a video and the text. Basically how to create a folder within Moodle and then adjust the permissions on that folder so that all the students in the class can upload to it. You could obviously do this like for individual students if you just wanted one or two students to upload content. But it should be really handy, and it's pretty easy to do. So we're trying more and more to sort of float some of these things out for people.
And the video's in Kaltura, right?
The video is indeed in Kaltura, yeah. So trying to make use of some of those
just
tools.
Pulling all that stuff
yeah,
together.
Yeah, so actually Jason created the video, and he created it in Kaltura. So using the screen recording aspect of media.lafayette.edu, there's your shameless plug. He was able to do the screen capture and then it's saved and he was able to embed it into the website.
I had thought about using the screen capture stuff to try and record this gnarly little bug that our friend Dave had discovered in WordPress.
Oh yeah, that's a good
I mean, I sat down and I kind of walked through it, but you know, it's a pain in the butt to have to go step by step and recount it
yeah.
in text. Whereas if I could just go, see, look, this is what you do, right? And it does. It was cool. It gave like little click tracking things, like it indicated.
Yeah,
when
it's
you did
really
stuff.
Elegant. So. I mean, I know that it the biggest limitation is that it doesn't really have editing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for short things.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. You know?
It's really, you don't need to edit. If you make a mistake in a short thing, you need to, either it's bad enough, you need to re-record it, or it's not very bad and you just need to laugh at yourself and move on.
Right.
Because that's kind of where we are now.
Right.
In this YouTube age. The other bit in help news is that we are, it sounds weird to say we're hosting a webinar, but I guess that's kind of what we're doing. We are making available a webinar called Beyond the Classroom Walls, Reinventing Yourself, Your Class, and Your Teaching Methods. So I feel like this has been a, you know, topic of conversation among faculty.
Mm-hmm.
This webinar is actually a faculty member. This is sponsored by lynda.com, but what she's going to be talking about is course content, rethinking how you actually pull resources. So a lot of people obviously are doing this. You're using resources that are not just textbooks. You're pulling in YouTube videos and maybe Lynda videos and whatever else you come across that's really helpful. But then this is also going to talk a little bit about how to collaboratively build the syllabus, build project requirements and rubrics and projects, just basically how to get the students involved in sort of scaffolding the assessment pieces to your course and getting them more involved in creating the course.
Wow.
So I hope it's going to be interesting. I don't know if anyone will come. It's only an hour long. It's from 3 to 4 on Friday, the 12th.
Is it being recorded so they can watch it after the fact?
I don't know if it is. I don't know. If it is recorded, I'll definitely distribute that.
Cool. But all right, well, we're always looking for feedback. You can email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LafayetteCollegeITS. And you can follow us at Twitter @LafCallITS. Links to all those are in the show notes.